every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News in Shoes.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast. Brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574. 6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Yours with Maranatha, a church of worship, the word and healing. I missed you guys so much. I could not wait for another Monday so I can come and share some things with you. And I believe that the Lord is going to minister to you this afternoon as we go through the Word of God. But before we get into the Word of God, I want you to pray with me. Father, we are so thankful. We come before you, Lord God, with worship. We come before you, Lord God, with a grateful heart. We say, Lord God, who in the heaven is to be compared to you? You are strong, you are mighty. In you, Lord God, we move, we live, and we have our being. So, Father God, I pray, Lord God, that I may open my mouth, Lord God, and let utterance come forth out of my mouth. We, Father God, you declared in your word that at the entrance of your word, it gives light. Illuminate us. Take us deeper into your word, that we may become more intimate with you, Father, and that your perfect will, Lord God, will be accomplished. Bless your people, Lord God, as they hear. And I thank you, Father God, for the anointing and this that destroys every yoke. We praise you, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray, amen. Once again, I am so delighted to be before you again, and I believe that as we go through the Word of God, we've been teaching on Teach Me How to Pray, and I believe as you're taught how to pray, you'll become a more effective prayer. I believe it was in James, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It accomplishes much. And I pray that as you're listening to this teaching, that you would just incorporate it into your daily lives and then use some of the principles that I've been teaching you so your prayer will become even more powerful. Amen? Well, we just finished a series called The Seven Answers to Prayer. And I'm just going to go over those real quickly, and then we're going to get right into the Word. I believe the seven steps we talked about, the first step was be specific, stand on God's promises. This is where we talked about finding the foundational scriptures to what to your prayer, and now allowing them to become anchors from where you spring forth, or foundations from where you spring forth. So you're specific about your prayer, all right, know what you're asking for, and then you find scriptures that go along with what you're praying for, and those will be your foundational scripture. Two, you must ask God for what you want. In other words, you believe that you received it. We talked about that word receive, which comes from a word lambano, which means to take. So the moment you pray, you believe that you take it. It has not manifested yet, but you have it. Three, it means be positive in your thinking. This is where we talked about keeping a mental picture before you of the answered prayer. No matter what the enemy throws at you, my prayers have been answered. And then when he does come at you, then you resist him, like James says. You submit to God, you resist the enemy, and guess what? He runs away. He flees. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, we pull down any stronghold. We pull down anything that's contrary to what God has said in his word. and we pull it down and we take authority over it. The fourth step was guard your mind. It's important to guard your mind. I can't stress it enough how important it is for us to guard our mind. What is our mind exposed to? The movies that we're exposed to, the things that we allow to bombard our mind. We have to keep our thoughts pure. And I believe in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8, it says, think on these things, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure. And it gives a long list, whatever is of a good report, you think on these things. The fifth one was meditate on God's promises. Keep calling to memory the things that God has done for you. Call to memory his word and let it just roll over in your mind as you meditate on his word. The sixth one was continually being thankful. This is a good practice. What we do is that we keep faith vibrant. Seven, make every prayer a statement of faith. Use the prayers and then put them in a word statement. By his stripes, I am healed. You see how that goes? Today, I want to discuss one of the major blockage or things that may be stopping us from receiving our prayers. One of the things that's blocking us, one of the key items that we need to deal with. We can't just turn our face to the other way, but we have to deal with it. And that word is doubt. That word is doubt. We have to deal with doubt. If we're going to get the answers to the prayers that we've been praying, we have to deal with doubt. Now, I'm going to give you two anchor scriptures, and then we're going to spring from there. The first anchor scripture is James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. That's James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Let me give you a little backdrop of this James, because there's two apostles that were named James, and you don't want to get them mixed up. The first one was the brother of John, or the son of Alpheus. He was known as the little, because he was little in stature. And then there was another apostle by the name of James, which was the brother of Jesus. This James, he was recognized as an overseer of the Judean church. We see that he was very inspirational. We see that he was kind of an unusually good man. This James, his surname was The Just. By his countrymen, we call him The Just. It is said that he spent much of his time on his knees praying. And we see that he spent so much time on his knees praying that his knees became so hard. Hard is like a camel's, with the calluses upon his knees. So he was a praying man. And we see that he was a man that when Peter first came out of prison, Peter was the one that reported to James. So this James that we're talking about, we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. When we look at this James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, like for instance, we see James is kind of broken up into segments. Like for instance, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, we see it talks about trials, it talks about patience, it talks about wisdom, and we see they're talking about faith. Now let's go ahead and read it, and we're going to get right into it. Now let's look at James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. And I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Catch this now. If any of you lacks wisdom, and you can things that you may be lacking in your life, God says, if you lack, if you're lacking in this particular area, in this case, it's talking about wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, he now tells us how we can obtain it. It says, let him ask of God, which gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. This is the catch now, because a lot of times we come before God and we're asking God for wisdom. We're asking for pertinent needs that we may be, that is pressing in our lives. It says, when he tells us how to ask, he says, let him ask in faith. And then he goes on to say, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. So it gives you a picture of doubt like the sea. You know, when you look at the sea, you have a boat in the sea and the wind is blowing. And the waves, some of the waves are high, some of the waves are low. So it gives you an idea of up and down. That's how it seems sometimes. On Monday, you've been praying God for God to heal you. On Monday, your leg is not hurting. So guess what? You're up. Yes, God, I bless you, God. You're such a healer. And then Tuesday, you feel a shooting pain just shoot through your leg and says, oh, God, I'm not sure if you're going to come through today. On Wednesday, you're feeling good again. You're praising God. And it's just an up and down. And it gives you the idea of doubt as a wave of a sea tossed back and forth. There's no stability. There is always a wandering, a hesitation. Now, verse 7 makes it very clear. It says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the... Wait a minute here. Let me read that again. Let me put it in my own version. Don't think that you will receive anything from the Lord if doubt is in the picture or if doubt is in your heart. You see that? Now let's look at our other anchor scripture. It's taken from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Let me just kind of give you a backdrop to that. This was when Jesus came out the evening. He went out of the city, and that was in the morning. The prior day is when he spoke to a fig tree. He went to the fig tree looking for figs. He did not see any fig tree, any figs. All he see was leaves. And then he spoke and commanded the fig tree. In verse 14 of chapter 11, it says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Now, the following day, in the following morning, is when they were passing by this fig tree, they realized that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. Then in verse 21, Peter remembering and said, Rabbi, look at this fig tree. The fig tree which you have cursed is now withered away. And that's where we catch 22 now. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. You see that? In other words, what is he trying to say? He says, have the faith of God. And he says, for verily or assuredly I say unto you, that whosoever says unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. So now Jesus is saying, hey, you remember in the past that when I speak to something, it listens to me? Like for instance, when I spoke to the winds and I said, peace be still to the winds heard me and adjusted and stopped. When I spoke to demons, the demons came out of the people because they heard me. When I even spoke to Lazarus, dead corpse, the dead corpse heard me and responded. And he also gave an example of Peter's mother-in-law, when she was very extremely sick with fever. The Bible makes it very clear that he didn't speak to the mother-in-law, but he spoke directly to the fever. The fever heard Jesus and immediately left. So in this case, Jesus is saying, hey, you see the way that I speak to this fig tree? You can speak to your fig trees. You can speak to your situation. So he's now giving an example of, as surely I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, he's now looking at the mountain. The fig tree and the mountain was in the same vicinity. He now shift his focus from the fig tree and say, look, you see that mountain over there? Just like what I did to this fig tree, you are able to do to that mountain over here. because I believe in the scripture, it says, even greater works shall we do. I believe that was in John chapter 14, verses 12. He says, truly I say unto you, that if he believes on me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and even greater works shall these do, because I go to the Father. So now he was given an example of the fact that if doubt is in your heart, it's going to be an obstacle for your answered prayer. And you have to deal with doubt. You have to deal with doubt. Very important. One thing to notice is that even when we look at this fig tree, we can look deeper into what God is trying to say to us. Because when you look at the fig tree, when you see the fig tree, we understand that from the dirt all the way up, you have the structure of the tree, you have the leaves, things that we can see. But there is a part which you cannot see, which is the roots. So the roots speak of the unseen or the spiritual realm. Believe it or not, if God was to open our eyes to the spiritual realm, we would see angels, we would see demons, we would see all type of activity going on around us. And it said, whoa, my God. But there's also a seen realm, which is our physical properties. We see. We see colors. We see various things. We see structures. So now, what point was he trying to convey here? He was saying that things happen in the spiritual realm, the unseen, and it affects the seen realm. It first starts in the spirit, meaning the roots. When he spoke to the fig, when he spoke to the roots dried up. The tree still was looking good, but it had to start in the unseen realm, and then it then affected the seen realm. So he was giving us an example of how that works. Another example of that is taken in 3 John 1 and 2. This is a scripture that we bounce back and forth, and we can quote it left and right. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we prosper in our soul, and it affects our body. The spirit first, and then the physical realm. You see that? Now, let's define this word doubt, because this is a doubt that has been stopping us from receiving some things that you've been praying for your son, you've been praying for your finances, you've been praying for those people on your job, you've been praying for that knucklehead of a you've been praying for your neighbor, you've been praying for those people that your loved ones, that people surround you. And you just seem as though nothing is happening. Is it just me, or am I feeling that right now? I'm feeling that right now, right? Okay, good. So there's an obstacle to our prayers coming to fruition. And one of the greatest obstacles, I believe, personally, is doubt. And we have to address doubt. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to show you what doubt looks like so you can identify it, and then you can pull it out of your heart. You can pull it out of the equation so you can get your answered prayer. Now, you look at this word doubt. When I was looking up this word doubt, there is actually around 7 words that give the meaning for doubt. I'm going to give you 4. Of these 7, 6 of these words were verbs, and 1 of the words were noun. Now, let's first of all look at 4 of these meanings. The first word for doubt, aporeo, A-P-O-R-E-O, aporeo. A lot of times when you look in the Greek, we see the word A, just like the alphabet A, B, C. But in the Greek, when you see the word A, it gives you the idea of being without. Like, for instance, pistis means faith. Apistis means without faith. You add the A to pistis, and it means without. So in this case, you have aporeo. The A We just found it out. It means without. And the porio in this word, it means poros. It means a way or a transit. When you put the A and the porio together, it means to be without a way. So doubt, the first word, aporio, it means to be without a way. And an example was shown in St. John's chapter 13, verses 23, when the disciples came and they were looking for the tomb. The body was missing. They were wondering what was going on. They came into a state of aporio. They were perplexed. They were distressed. There was no faith going on. Where is Jesus? Where is his body? There was aporio. They were experiencing aporio. The second word is diakrino. Diakrino. D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O. It means making no distinction. It also means lacking in faith, deficient in the word. It also gives you the idea to contend or to differ. We get words like wavering, weak faith. And we see that word is used in Romans chapter 4, verses 16. I want you to turn with me because I want you to see this for yourself. Romans chapter what? Right. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. You got it? All right. Let's start at verse 17. And it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Who are they referring to? Yes, Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God called those things which do not exist as though they did. 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. 19. And not being weak in faith. Who? Abraham. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of his wife Sarah's womb. This is a part I wanted to catch. Verse 20 says, he did not waver. You see that word waver? It means diakrino. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So when we see this word diakrino, it means to stagger. It means to separate thoroughly. It means to withdraw from. Withdraw. I know you said this, God, but I'm going to withdraw from what you said. I'm going to oppose what you said. It also gives the idea to discriminate or to hesitate. A lot of times we've been praying to God and the answer had not received yet, but there is a hesitation. I wonder if my body's going to be healed. I wonder if my daughter is going to get that scholarship. I wonder if I'm going to get that job. And there is a sense of what? Yes, hesitation. That's the second word, diakrino. He says, Pastor, why are you going through all these words? You give me all these Greeks and you're trying to give me, you're putting all this stuff on me. I'm bombarded with all this stuff. Would you just kind of listen? All right, I just listen. Hold on for 1 second. just listen. Diakrino. So the first word is aporio, and the second one is diakrino. The third word is distazo, D-I-S-T-A-Z-O, D-I-S-T-A-Z-O. The word dis, it means double, and stasis means a standing. So when you look at it, it gives you the idea of standing in two ways. You come to a junction. Which road shall I take? Should I take the road of faith? Should I take the road of doubt? I don't know. If you look closely, Peter was in that same condition. You remember when Jesus was standing, he walked on the water and he came close to the boat, and Peter was in the boat. Peter stepped out of his comfort zone and stepped on the water. And before he stepped in the water, he says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And then Jesus says, come. And then Peter stepped out on the word and began to start walking. As he was walking on the fact that Jesus said, come. But then he looked and he began to start getting distazo. He came to a place where there's two roads. I'm looking at the storm. I'm looking at the doctor's diagnosis, or I'm looking at Jesus, the Word. I'm looking at my my bank account, or am I looking at the fact that my God shall supply all my needs? Man, I tell you what, my time is running out. I really want to get deeper into this thing here, but I tell you, I'm looking for someone to partner with us, because I want to extend this to an hour. And also, we're in the process of looking for our own building. And I want you to partner with us to sow into this ministry. Go on our website. Let me give it to you. You're writing it down. It's called maranathainter.org. Let me spell it for you. maranathainter.org. Go on there and sow into this ministry. I tell you what, this is the place to be. There's such an excitement. It feels like every service that we have is like the presence of God is intensifying. And I wouldn't be surprised that one day you come into our service and then just this heaven just literally explodes. There's just a glory of God that fills the place. So I want you to come. First of all, call me. Write this number down. 561 383-6574. Let me say it again. 561-383-6574. Well, hopefully next week I'll be able to have a chance to kind of finish up what I have to say, because I didn't even get into certain things that I really believe that you should hear. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go over it again next week, but I'm going to get even deeper. All right? Same time. I don't want you to miss this, all right? Tell a friend. Tell your neighbor, tell a relative to tune in. Once again, I'm thankful to you, and I'm thankful for this time. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and may God's peace, his shalom, be with you, and may you extract doubt from that equation and only believe God. God bless.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and
welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher on Friendship with God.
We see Jacob with corn that run out, and he's crying out in desperation, go again, buy us a little food. It's such a picture of man in the world, who what he finds in the world is not of the Father. And the Lord spoke of two meats, though. One meat that doesn't give a lasting satisfaction, because you keep on having to come back for it, and then the other meat of eternal life, which is a gift that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ.